to the book of 1 Kings. Sis, you just stay in those altars. We're preaching about the altar. You stay there. Do you feel you've got where you need to be in an answer from God? I believe God's going to intervene. I'm not going to hold you long. What time is it, Brother Ron? Oh, my Lord. 12:05. Well, if you're tired than I am, go on home. If you're not staying, I doubt any of you are. I'll preach 10 minutes if I can. I'm not going to guarantee you that, but I'm going to preach a little while. We'll not go back into what we were going to in the book of Joshua chapter 8. After the battle, they were defeated in chapter 7. Chapter 8, victory came because they got everything in order the way God wanted it. And the altars built in chapter 8. Folks, there'll never be victory in our lives without an altar. You bank on it. You bank on it. Never be a victory without an altar. An altar is no good if there's not something on that altar. God never moves on an empty altar. He'll move. The fire fall, as Sister Pamela said, Clendenin had stated this, fire falls on an altar that there's a sacrifice. I've got to be that. You've got to be that. Fire never falls on an empty altar. Stand with us, 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll hurry, read just a few scriptures, try to get a few points this morning across to you. And we'll continue on this tonight. I was going to ask somebody to preach. I don't think I've got anybody to preach in a while. I've been kind of going on this, but I believe I'll go ahead. I guess Wednesday night, for the in case you have to leave, I guess we'll probably dismiss. It's 4th of July. We ain't dismissing church. We just won't have it here. I'm going to Fallen Water. There's only been two families that said that they didn't have anything going on. I asked Wednesday night. And I know a lot of things going on. I'm not aggravated now, folks, about that. I really don't like dismissing, but Wednesday night we'll probably dismiss because folks can still go other directions. We're going to go to Fallen Water. And if you don't have a place to go and don't have family getting together, if you want to come, go with us, go to Fallen Water with us. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'll begin reading, and I probably won't read, but just a little bit here. I was going to read it quite a bit, but verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people come near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Listen to this in verse number 32. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of religion, not in the name of denomination, not in the name of Baal. A lot of altars are being built, but they're false altars. But in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about it, about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it again the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it again the third time. And they did it the third time. The water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Boy, those are great words. And that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You can be seated. I want to preach a little while. I'll not tarry long. You just pray for me this morning as we try to preach this. You know the story. We'll not go into the background a lot on this. But there's not just one altar here on the mountain. Brother Johnny, there's two, but only one altar that's ordained of God. The other altar's ordained of a false god. And they cried unto this false god, nothing happened. Listen, folks, when it comes down to tragic times, we can cry all we want. If that altar's not repaired in the name of the Lord, if we're not coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. No other way will it happen. But as I look at this, I thought something I've seen. I preached from this passage and used it many times, Brother Johnny. But something I've seen in this since we've been preaching this series of Victory Over. It's one thing to have victory, we've stated many times. But it's another thing to keep that victory. There's not an individual in this building that's of any age. If you went through a trial and the thief stole, I preached the last two services on victory over the spoil, victory over the spoiler. The thief come to spoil your house, to take your goods. And I thought, as I began to look at this, folks, I see something I've never saw in this. Keeping that victory will cost you something. There was a time, Brother Fred, the children of Israel had this victory. They walked with God. They listened to what the true prophet had to say. But now, things have begun to dwindle down. There's a famine in the land, if you will. Listen, folks, I believe there's a famine. We can see a famine for drought in this land. But we can see a greater famine. And it's called a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. There's very few ears that are really perceiving what thus saith the Lord saith. Most of you that are any age of you've been in conflicts, and to have victory means that you have defeated in a battle or struggle. You've defeated that enemy. But it's one thing to defeat the devil, and it's another thing to keep him defeated. He don't stay defeated very well. And the only way you'll keep him defeated is in the name of the Lord. And keep that altar repaired. Brother Johnny, I believe right here at White Oak, there's a lot of folks that's had victory, but a lot of you's lost that victory. That isn't a disgrace, I can tell you. I lost the victory while I was preaching this message. I'm preaching on victory and I lost it while I was preaching the victory. But thank God it didn't stay lost. Brother Johnny, how do you get that victory back and you regain the ground? It's when that altar's repaired. If it's not in use, do you know anything that's not being used is something that'll decay? You park a vehicle, a tractor, whatever it may be, and you leave a building unattended, it'll begin to decay. But if it's in use, Brother Fred, it'll be kept up. Every time you see a flaw, you'll work on it. It'll be kept up. That's why, folks, it's very vital. It's very important this morning that we repair that altar in the name of the Lord. It's not in the name of Buddha. It's not in the name of Mohammed. It's not in the name of Baal, as so the prophets of Jezebel did. But it's in the name of the Lord. And listen, folks, Ahab and Jezebel both knew of the power of God, knew what the real was. But somewhere or another along the way began to fall. You see, they weren't of the heathen people. They just become heathens because the altar's torn down. We'll become heathens if we don't have an altar. Real quick, let me give you just a little bit of what God's laid on my heart. I'll let you go. You come back tonight and we'll hit this some more. All right? Notice this is a time of famine. You talk about a great miracle. Ahab had already stated prior to this in chapter 17, go out and search that you might find enough grass to keep some of the mules and horses alive. I'm telling you, folks, Things were hard. People's dying. Animals are dying. There's not food. There's no... Do you know that if God were to shut up the heavens the rest of this summer, there'd be people going to starvation? You can create a lot of things, but water's not one of them. And you know what this water's typifying? It's typifying the real Spirit of God. You can counterfeit all you want to, but I'm here to tell you this morning that you cannot counterfeit the real Spirit of God. It'll never work. It may seem to do all right for a while, but I can tell you, when the real drought and storm comes, folks will know the difference. And I thought, there's a drought there. And here's what God spoke to Elijah. You repair that altar in the name of the Lord. I'll not go in to the 12 stones that he took. According to the number of the tribe of Israel, it'd take too long. I want to get you to what I really want to preach about a little while this morning. But as he did this, and he began to repair, I can tell you how the altar's been repaired by being in use. He began to pray at that altar. Folks begin to acknowledge and they begin to look at this. And here's what he said. How do you know this has happened? I can tell you, folks, they're in drought. Water's very scarce. Ain't nobody going to give you 12 barrels of water to pour up on a fire when you're in a drought. And Elijah said, bring me 4 barrels of water. There's a trench. Oh, as I begin to research and look into this, inside this circle is the sacrifice. You know what that's typifying? I'm inside. The world's out here. The world does not affect my life any longer. I have buried myself on that altar, and the world will not affect the results in my life. Sure, there's a drought going on. Bring the water. But preacher, there's a drought in the land. Do you know heaven's never experienced a drought? There's never been a famine in heaven. And this is the voice of God speaking it. And when he said, bring me 4 barrels of water, that sacrifice, that's you, sir. That's me. That sacrifice is inside that circle. And now, he said, bring 4 barrels of water. He pours that water upon the sacrifice. Who's getting a part of that? Brother Smith, I'm getting part of that. As it runs down, and he said, do it again the second time. He pours that water upon that sacrifice. That water's typifying the Spirit. It's typifying the Holy Ghost. And as Brother Nathan stated this morning, the second time they done it. Then he said, do it again the third time. Listen, folks, this is typifying the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is being poured upon that sacrifice. That's me. Brother Johnny, it's a drought. There's a famine. But I don't know anything about that. The Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost been poured upon me. And now it's surrounding me. Has hedged me from all the prophets of Jezebel. All the prophets of the grove. And it's enabling me, giving me the victory to be able, I'm preaching under the title, an altar before the victory. It'll enable me to be able to fight when I come out of that drought. Guess what? What do you think broke the drought? An altar. That altar's there now. It's going to Mount Carmel. That altar's going to Mount Carmel. Everybody's acknowledging. They see something has to die on the altar. But thanks be unto God, the Spirit as that water. Did you ever notice this? I never heard nobody say this. The water's poured on the sacrifice. It's poured on the sacrifice. The only way I'll ever be consumed of God is to let Him pour on this sacrifice that I could die. I can tell you, folks, as He begins to pour upon this sacrifice, and it came about, the only way the fire of God, Brother Ron, could fall and would fall is if everything be done just like God said for it to be done. We want the blessings. I can tell you the rain's coming. Elijah saw it and heard it before anybody else ever even thought about it. He said, I hear the sound. There's no sound, but the Spirit of God spoke and said, bank on it. You've obeyed the voice of God. Just like the fire fell, it consumed everything there. It consumed the doubt and the unbelief. And the fire of God can do that today and cause you and I to be victorious. Cause you and I to be victorious. There's some other areas I'll be getting into later on this. But I don't really feel this morning going any farther in it. If you'll come back tonight, I'm going to do my best to continue and preach on this. Now, I'm having a battle here in the last while. Wearing the battle in my mind, the old devil saying, folks, getting tired of hearing that. All I can say is you need at least 4 barrels poured on you. And when you get the first 4, you might say, do it the second time, oh God. And then you might say, do it the third time. That's typifying the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Around this trench, I stated, you're inside your own. I can tell you, folks, the world does not ever affect anybody that's on the altar. If you're inside that circle, that trench is for a reason. Do you think that that trench had to be made there? No, sir. That trench is to say, outside this trench is the world, but inside this trench is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the fullness that heaven has to offer, and it'll flow on you. If you'll just get on the altar and be that sacrifice, it'll flow on you. Closing with this, you ever hear anybody say, I've heard testimonials, the outer body experience, death experience. Now, I've heard folks that said, I talked to a man, I preached his funeral. He'd been a heathen. I'm telling you, he'd been a heathen. I preached his funeral, and another brother tried to lead him to the Lord, and he called me and he said, I just really don't know how to deal with him. I can tell you, he's a hard case to deal with. And we talked with him, and he wanted to be saved because he wanted to be healed. And I'd ask him, do you want to be saved to serve the Lord? Well, I'll just be honest with you. He'd say, I'd rather be saved that I can go fishing. Or healed that I can go fishing. And it took a while to get through to let him see and acknowledge. But listen, here's what I believe really turned the heart of this man. He's experienced enough. He's praying enough. God honored that prayer. He saw what the future's going to be. He's in the hospital. He died. And they shocked him, brought him back. And he told me this. He's on oxygen, barely could breathe, barely could talk. This is a month and a half or 2 months after he died, Brother Johnny. And the man sat in his home and told me, he said, I'll just be honest with you. I was scared of dying. But he said, now, I really never knew anything about how to really make things right with God, but we tried to lead him, as Paul said in Romans, the best way we could. The Romans road to salvation, we call it, and we tried to give him our experience and tell him how that he needed to do and say to, and believe and confess and I mean be in the heart. And I believe to a point it got, but it wasn't registered true reality, but enough, I feel like God showed him. And he said, when I died, he said, I could hear him saying, he's gone, he's gone. Uh-huh. And I forget how long he said he was gone. And I don't believe the man's lying at all. No. He's fixing to die again. And he said, Now, he wasn't dead 4 days like Lazarus was, but he was dead long enough. He's pronounced dead. They brought him back. And he said, I saw the brightest light. He said, you can't even begin to describe the brightness, but it wasn't a light that was hurtful or harmful to the eyes. It was a light that was drawing. Yes. Never had heard anybody say this. And he said, it was so bright, but it was a drawing light. And he said, as I went across, he said, a river. I went across the river. And he said, now this wasn't like this man. He said, I saw the most beautiful flowers that I'd ever saw. And the fragrance, he said, I noticed such a fragrance. Never had I seen anything like this or smelled anything like this. And he said, now I'm not afraid of dying at all. And I thought, folks, that's exactly when we're on this altar, we're dying now. That's what God's saying. This world has nothing to offer. It does not hold us or attract us at all. We've died on this altar. Now it's that fragrance of the other side. It's that light on the other side. They may be dark tunnels here, but there's a bright light on the other side. It's what's to attract and pull us in and cause us to want to stay. And not only us, but to help somebody else while we're going this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My father-in-law had a dream. I don't remember. Wasn't this quite a while before he ever knew he had cancer, Diane? A year or so before he ever even knew he was sick. He had a dream. I believe I may not get this exactly right, but the main part of the story be right enough. Diane was telling me, I think her mother told her maybe, that he saw the most beautiful flowers. He had a dream of heaven, and he saw the most beautiful flowers. And I can tell you, that wasn't like my father-in-law. That wasn't like Jay White to say that. But God showed him something he had never saw before. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the good things God's prepared for them that love him. And the only way, folks, we may get to see a portion of that is Moses saw the promised land, but he didn't enter into it. Not meaning he didn't make heaven, because he did, Mount Transfiguration. But God said he's going to bring him in, but because he rebelled and smote a rock when God said speak, he didn't make it in to that promised land. That promised land was not heaven, sir. That many of those that went into that promised land still didn't go to heaven. That was not heaven. That wasn't even a type of heaven. It was just a place God said, I've prepared to bring you out of bondage into. It was a land flowed with milk and honey. But heaven is going to be worth it at any cost. Any cost. Isaac, would you go back and get an offer?